All right, welcome back. We are now, as promised, shifting our focus more to the energy sector as we are chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report. Also writes the Eye on Energy, which is a free report that covers more of the fundamentals, the data that comes out of the oil and gas sector. Now, Joseph, we are recording this on Wednesday, as we usually do, and it's a good day to be chatting because crude is down almost $5. It was down $5 earlier today, down in the $66 region. Now, last time we had you on, about a month ago, you were saying you were waiting for a breakdown into the $60 area or the mid-60s that would trigger a lot of buy signals. Let's first just talk about why oil is dropping so much just in the last week or so, when oil was right up around that $80 level, then has just kept on moving, and on this Wednesday, a big move down. Is it all related to the banking system here, Joseph, or is there something else going on within the oil sector that's almost causing this perfect storm to pull the oil price down?
Well, we've been talking for a while that inventories were building in the U.S. over the last 2 months, 3 months maybe. We've also been talking about demand in the U.S., which is the biggest consumption market in the world, being down from a year ago. And that is clearly the case. It's down 8.7% from a year ago from the EIA data that came out today, Wednesday. And so the reason for weaker prices, and I've been calling for a breach of 70 with a target in the 65-70 level. Well, today it got down to the lower end of that band. I think the low today, and I'm just pulling it out, day's low was 66.07. And so we're looking at bargain levels as stocks get beat up. For example, the TSX Energy Index today is down 8% to 210, and a lot of stocks are down more than 10%. I can see stocks on my computer down 10, 12, 13% on the low. So it's bargain territory for the oils, for the natural gas stocks, and for the pipeline infrastructure area. And so we put out 7 ideas today, new recommendations. Remember, in early February, we only had 8 names on our buy list out of the 37 we cover, and we added 7 on Monday, 7 today. So we now have 22 names on the buy list, and I expect we'll probably be sending out one more buy list in the coming days, and that will probably take us to effectively a fully recommended list right across the board, between the largest companies to the smallest, between E&P, service, and pipeline infrastructure, and all the way from the largest caps in the pipeline infrastructure down to small cap energy and energy service. So we think there's bargains galore, and we're putting out those recommendations. And I'm fully in the bull camp now. I've been cautious for so long, and you've been wondering, am I ever going to be right? And of course, people were doubting that my call was going to come to do, but I kept on looking at the numbers, and, I don't want to use the word as Powell does, Chairman Powell of the Fed, I'm data dependent, but the reality was the data was clear that prices of oil should not have been at 80, and then like anything, things go in a pendulum. They go from overvalued to fair value to undervalued, and to me, we're now undervalued.
Well, Joseph, a big hat tip to you for your call, because you just had that last time you came on say that, hey, once this thing breaks 70 and gets down in the mid-60s, some of these buy alerts are going to be coming out from your subscription services and to subscribers, letting them know the deals you see. And it's played out really exactly as you forecasted, just maybe a little quicker than some people expected because of this banking contagion mixed with the big build in oil prices. So when you see the oil stocks and the nat gas stocks take a plummet, you're using this as a good bargain hunting area. Is there any risk that some of the stocks still haven't priced in this lower move yet? And would you be waiting for certain levels in some of them before scaling in? Or do you think that enough of the carnage has already happened, and in a lot of these companies, it's really a pretty good spot to at least start getting an initial stake going?
Well, if you remember in March of 2020, how quickly it fell. And it was like, it was a plunge. We saw that in 87. We saw that in almost every 08, 09, stocks just plummeted within a week or two, you know, if you remember how deep the decline was. So you almost have to just pick a place and say, this is a bargain level, and that's what we're doing. And that's why we're scaling in, not in terms of the amount per name, but we're adding names on a scale and basis. So we added 7 on Monday, 7 today. I expect in the next few days we'll add another 5 or 6. So if people should make the decision, you know, we said to them, pick the names you like and have your buy list ready. And when we say, when we send out the action alert buy list, then you can then build your position. So that's what we're recommending to people. You know, this thing could be a V turn, you know, over the next few weeks. But I still think we're on the down leg of the V. And as I said, I think the Dow is going to break 30,000 and potentially go down to the lows of October. If you remember, that was when we had the spike down in October of thousands of points, and we went down to 28,700.
So, Joseph, if we have that much more downside still to go in, let's say, the Dow or even the broad averages, how much lower could oil go? Could we get into the 50s?
Look, when you have market fear, you never know how low is low. I'm just saying that, you know, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, I'm going to be a happy camper buying stocks at the prices that they're available today. I don't have the foresight to say March 17th is Friday is going to be the low at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, you just don't know that. And I don't think anybody is going to be that prescient in terms of that. My view is if they're going to give me the chance to buy a Birchcliff under $8 with a 20-cent quarterly dividend that it, and no debt in the company, and there's no risk to the dividend, I'm getting paid 10%. And if I'm right, the stock could be a $12 stock by the end of the year or a year from now. And, you know, buying it at 8 to 12 plus a 10% yield, that's awesome.
Yeah, Joseph, it is awesome. And a lot of these companies are on bargain sale and they're quality companies. Let's just say that there's somebody listening to this call, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that may only have limited exposure to the oil and gas sector, or maybe want to increase their exposure. If they were going to build a diversified portfolio, do you have a rough idea of just, and I know it's not the same for every investor, but just a rough idea of how much you would put towards the dividend paying companies, the larger producers, or the small cap growth stocks, you know, nat gas versus oil? Any idea on how you would structure a portfolio if somebody was going to get into, let's say, 10 names or so?
Well, you know, I think everybody has to decide what their risk profile is and how much energy they want in their portfolio. You know, some people may, you know, have, let's say, 10 names in their portfolio. So maybe only 2 names or 3 at the most should be appropriate. Others may have 40 or 50 names in their portfolio, and then they may take a, you know, different approach. I'm a barbell investor. You know, I've got things, you know, you've got real estate, banking stocks and things like that. But then I have energy. Do I have tech? No. Do I have mining? Very little. You know, do I have, you know, consumer products? No. So each individual has to pick what they want to do. But if they are going to go into the energy sector, if they're conservative and they're dividend focused, there's great bargains between the pipelines, utilities, and the large cap energy, which have dividends, as I mentioned, Birchcliff. And then, you know, for more entrepreneurial investors, if they say, what would you do, Joseph? My view is I want to have exposure to natural gas, to light oil, to the service sector, and to dividend yielding pipeline and infrastructure that can grow their dividends. And so there's names that I would pick in each one. And that's what we've been sending out to our clients, you know, in terms of here's ideas depending upon what size, what market cap you want. Do you need dividends? You know, what are you the mix that you need? Because every investor is different. And, you know, I may end up owning 10 or 12 names. You know, I own 6 right now, and I'm adding to those 6. Normally, when we send out action alert buys or sells, we have a 5-day wait rule. So sometime next Monday, I could start buying the list I sent out Monday. Next Wednesday, I could buy the ones I sent out today. So, you know, I'm thinking of potentially ending up at 10 or 12 names, so double where I am now. But, you know, the names I buy will be a mixture, as I said.
Do you care about jurisdiction, Joseph? Where these companies are operating?
I want companies that are based in Canada. So from a oil and gas perspective, you know, I get the, you know, the AIFs, the annual information forms, and I can create my NAV. I want them domiciled in Canada or hopefully in Calgary so I can go see them and talk to them. Or if they're close by Vancouver or wherever, I can talk to the management team very easily. I don't cover companies in the States that are U.S. listed or internationally listed, just because you know you want to stay in your home bench in the lane where you have a research advantage, and that's why we focus on the companies that we do. And we're not covering a small list. There's 37 companies on our coverage list right now.
Well, Joseph, when you're valuing these companies, do you take a look at things like where they're hedged or the price to free cash flow, or are you looking at their growth wedge? What are some of the main things you look at when trying to evaluate these companies?
Well, what you're looking for is companies with strong balance sheets, with improving balance sheets, with a growth wedge where management has significant ownership. And so in the companies that we cover, those rules apply. And we see, that it's a barfing time now in the market. And, when you see stocks going down 7 to 10 to 12% in one day, you've got to admit that's a crash. And so that's what we're seeing today. And my view is I'm not going to pick the bottom, but I'm going to get bargain buys. And that's what we're seeing today. And I would expect, as I said, that we'll be sending out additional buy recommendations in the coming days.
Joseph, what about the drop in natural gas? Natural gas was trying to make a run, even peaked its head around $3, just above $3, but it's dropping as well today. Natural gas is down 6% on this Wednesday. We have seen it drop down into the $1 and change range back in 2020, back in 2016, back in 2012. Do you think that natural gas could have a $1 handle sometime soon in front of it?
We've seen, 160, 180 at the low. And the reason we're doing that is there was an 80, I'm just trying to pull the number here, 84 BCF drawdown last Thursday. But we're sitting 32.1% above a year ago. This is the EIA data sheet in front of me. And we're 21.5% above the five-year average. So the industry is going to slow down drilling, and then we're seeing that in the drilling stats that have been coming out. For example, in Canada, the rig count last Friday fell 23 rigs, and the biggest decline was oil, 19, but also 4 rigs for natural gas. So we're seeing activity come down with depletion. That's going to maybe then bring the summer into play. If we have a hotter than normal summer versus, just like we had a warmer than normal winter, again, the climate issue, and air conditioning demand is strong, electricity, demand is strong, then the natural gas overhang will disappear. So could it go below $2 in this climactic sell-off? Yes. But again, where will the price of natural gas be in winter of 2023-24? I bet you it's going to be over $5 an MCF, both sides of the border, which means these stocks are going to be a lot higher than they are today.
Joseph, when nobody knows the future and what's going to happen as far as nat gas or oil prices, but let's just say an environment develops where these things get stuck in a lower range, where oil is in the mid-60s to $70 range and natural gas just stays in the low twos and just trends sideways and doesn't really do a V-shaped bounce. Would that change some of the companies that you position, or would that change your outlook on the things you look for and how you value companies?
Again, under that supposition, then yes, you'd probably have to take a different approach. But I started in this business in 1972, and I have never seen a lengthy bottom where it stays there. This is not the depression of the 1930s. We've always had a U or a V-shaped bottom. So in a U-shaped bottom, I stay bullish the same way I am now, as the V bottom view that I have at the current time. I do not believe we will have a down flat market for 6 months or a year. If somebody believed that, then you might have to take a different approach. And that might be, buy only the ones with the strongest balance sheets that pay you a dividend yield that's acceptable, and where you want to own them a year or two down the road when the prices do recover, because the industry will just stop drilling and decline rates will kick in. And it just like what happened in March of 2020, in March 13th of 2020, we sent out a large list of action alert buys. That time I didn't spread it out, with the four buy indicators. It was more that things were just bargain territory. And I said, it's a buy right across the board. And we sent out a lengthy list of buy recommendations, you know, probably two-thirds of the names we cover. So we just said, we're all in. This is crazy. And, of course, you know, 2 years later or a year later, we were right. So I don't know how long this bottoming action will take. My gut tells me it's a V bottom, and the worst of it will be over. The bottom of the V, and we'll swing around to the other side, will happen before the end of March.
Joseph, because we are seeing these drops in prices, and that does, for a lot of companies, directly impact their bottom line, do you think we're going to start to see growth plans, or at least spending on growth, which has been a story of a lot of companies continuously saying we can fund this growth, we're going to be drilling a lot this year? Do we see those forecasts come down drastically?
Well, you've got, you know, the winter program is almost over, as we're seeing from the rig count, and we get into spring break. So companies, you know, whatever they're doing during Q2, during breakup, is going to happen. The decisions of what they're going to do in Q3 and Q4 are going to be where the swings in budget will occur. So if the price of crude oil is sub 75 by the time we get into July, August, budgets will change and companies will be focused on balance sheet strength and paying their dividends because they don't want to be cutting them right now after cleaning up their balance sheets and starting to do return to shareholders. And of course, companies that have NCIB with strong balance sheets are definitely going to pull out, pull that money and say, hey, the best buy we can is on is a barrel of ours on Bay Street than a barrel that we want to drill in the ground. And we could see more action on the NCIB front.
So, Joseph, we have you on the show very regularly, every month to break down the oil and gas sector. And now that you're getting so bullish and now that companies are reaching those buy signals, give us a little heads up on where our listeners can find your information, please.
Now, if anyone is interested in what we're coming out with our buy ideas and the names there, they need to go to our website, www.schachterenergyreport.ca, and then they can go to the subscription page if they decide that they want to take advantage of the idea flow that we have now.
All right, Joseph, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on the oil and gas sector. We're going to have you on next month. This also wraps up this weekend's edition of The Weekend Show. I hope everybody enjoyed the crazy week that we just went through and all the comments on this weekend show. Please keep in touch with Shad and I through email. We love hearing from each and every one of you. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.